Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 15th perek of Sefer Shoftim. This perek overall reminds me of a poem by William Butler Yeats called The Second Coming. He talks about in the first line, the widening gyre as the falcon can no longer hear the falconer. This is a spiral of anarchy which he witnesses in the world. In this perek, we're going to witness the widening gyre of Shimshon's revenge cycles. So we saw that Shimshon took revenge on those young men who used his wife to get the answer to the riddle, and how he took revenge on them. So this parak continues in that same vein. So what happens is that during the harvest season, Shimshon returns to his wife, and he comes to his father's house, his father-in-law's house, and demands to see his wife. And his father-in-law says, "Sorry, you know, we thought that you hated her because of the whole episode, and we actually remarried her to somebody else. But don't worry, she has a younger sister, and you can easily marry her. She's much nicer than her older sister." So Shimshon says, "This is it. I am done with you, Plishtim, because you betrayed me." So what does he do? He goes to the fields. He captures 300 foxes, and he ties their tails to each other in pairs, and in between their tails he places a torture fire. And so what happens is obviously the foxes go again to frenzy and run out into fields, because they're running away from each other, they can't really get away from each other, they end up rolling around and burning down the fields, and they destroy many, many fields. So the Plishtim come out and they say, well, what happened? How did this wildfire spread? And everybody says, you know what it is because his adopted family betrayed him. Maybe they married their daughter to somebody else when he was married to her. So the Plishtim come back to the father-in-law's house, and they burn down the house. And because of that, then Shimshon says, "Well, I'm going to take revenge for you killing my family now." And so he went and he kills them, and just describes how he'd kill them. Me shok ad yorech, you know, from the thigh to the yorech. It's actually a move where you cut the person from the back, talking about killing people where he would chop them down, and it's creating a terrible amount of damage. Then he goes and he goes and hides. He seeks refuge because at this point in time he's killed many Plishtim. He goes and hides in a place called Lehi, and while he's there, this is Lehi is actually in the area of the Bnei Yehuda. Now Shimshon is from the tribe of Dan, and so the Bnei Yehuda come out and say, and he says to them, "Why are you here?" He's hiding in the rocks. And they said, they send a delegation of about 3,000 men, and they say, "Look, you know, we're under the control of Philistines. Shimshon, what are you doing? We have to return you to the Philistines, because they're going to come now and they're going to attack us." So he says, "Are you going to kill me?" They said, no, we swear, we take a shavua, that we're not going to kill you. We're just going to tie you up and give them back to you." So they tie him up in these new ropes, and they head him out to the Plishtim. And as he's walking down bound up to the Plishtim, they start getting very excited. They start making a noise. And as he gets it, the ropes melt from his arms, and it's as if they're like, you know, small threads. He rips them open, and he takes the jawbone of a donkey and uses that as his weapon, and he kills 1,000 men of the Philistines as he's being returned to them. So and he makes a sort of poem where he says, you know, "Berechi chamor 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 osayim berechi chamor hikesi elefish." I kill people with a jawbone of a donkey. And at that moment, as he finishes speaking, he gets deadly thirsty. He throws down this jawbone. He can't even stand up. He's so weak. And so he calls out to Hashem and he says, "How could you do this great miracle via my hands, and you allow me to die?" So miraculously, a spring of water opens up through the area where the jawbone is lying on the ground, and he's able to feed himself. And that place is called Lehi, which is where this whole miracle happened, and it talks about how he judges Israel for 20 years. A lot of things to think about in this parak. One is, just coming back to the foxes for a second, why is he using these foxes as the way of exacting judgment? So Malim says, well, what it does is, he's essentially saying that when two people are connected to each other via marriage, and you put a fire between two interconnected people, then that's what happens. What you're saying is that I was married to this woman, I may have left because I was angry, but that didn't mean to say that there was the right to break apart or put the fire into this interconnected marriage. That's kind of the hint that he was saying. He was making a very personal description. The Gemara in Sot and Daf Yud Amud Aleph says that also the notion of foxes, you know, foxes are creatures which are cunning. They're betraying creatures, which is why he uses them to describe the betrayal of the Philistine family to him. Later on, it's interesting that why is it, just using the symbolism, why does he use a jawbone of a donkey? Now, of course, that's what was available to him, but why was that what was available to him? How was that the facilitator of this miracle? So there is an interesting Targum Yashan, which says that this is actually the jawbone of the donkey of Bilam, which is an interestingly miraculous piece of equipment in this world. It was the jawbone which spoke to Bilam, and apparently now it's facilitating the Shimshon's success, which is just something really interesting to think about and what the connection is. But the Gorin Sot and Daf Tes Amud Beis in that same area says, you know what, the reason why it was a jawbone of a donkey was because a donkey is an impure creature, it's non-kosher. So in a certain sense, he has Hashem who's acting in a miraculous way on the behalf of Israel, but through an animal which is Tomei. If we think about that metaphorically, here is a person who's acting as a shofet of Israel, but doesn't look as kosher as it regularly did before now. So it's kind of this strange vehicle to God's success in the world, which is what's being wielded over here. Why is it that he got suddenly weak at this point in time? So the Klei Yaakov and the Mamlo'ais say, well, once he started boasting about it, then Hashem immediately sapped his strength. Meaning to say, realize your strength is completely superhuman, and that's why he couldn't even lift his head and needed the miracle of the jawbone of a donkey. What is fascinating is considering this whole perek as a whole, is that clearly Shimshon is supernaturally guided, meaning to say, these are overt miracles. There's no way to explain these otherwise. But at the same time, the people themselves, the Bnei Yehuda, don't believe he's really their shofet. Meaning as much as he's leading them, they don't believe that. They even hand him over, which is tragic. An Israelite is handing over an Israelite over here while he is leading them, which gives us a notion that the leadership of Shimshon is quite different to any of the shoftim we've seen up till now. Most of the shoftim, whether they were accepted or not accepted by all of Israel, they were seen as the shofet. Shimshon, it seems like people themselves are debating whether he's a shofet, and we're going to see how this is an integral aspect of his leadership in the next section tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.